You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama. The biggest show across the afternoons of North Alabama is this one, Right Side Radio. And like the man said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We're moving into one of my favorite segments of the week. Do I have a roll call? Let's see here. Do I have a Dale Jackson on the line with us?
Yes, sir. I am here, Lieutenant Colonel Williams.
Love it. All right. Do I have a Jeff Poor on the line with us?
Aye, Captain. I'm here.
All right. Copper, let us convene. Do we have a sound effect?
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right. It almost feels anticlimactic when you have to ask for it like that, but there it is.
I like that every week it is different.
It does. It always has this.
I know it's not, but it just sounds different every week.
Well, just as long as we're keeping things lively, that's what the important part. All right, folks, you know the rules. So we ping each other. We try to get a couple of questions in each and then make the rounds and see what we think about the topic. So, Dale, we did not get enough of your lilting voice last week, so we're going to start with you. So what's your question for the Grand Council?
Okay, so I talked to State Senator Sam Gavan this morning about antibodies, and I've been talking about this for a while. And he said that he's already drafted a letter to the governor that some other senators are potentially on board with, where they're going to try to get the governor. And this isn't done deal yet, but they're looking for some sort of guidance from the governor and the health department towards companies that are looking for vaccine mandates in Alabama, asking them to consider antibody evidence. Any chances moves forward with any reality that it becomes a thing? Because Sam Gavan pointed out that if he worked for the company that I work for, that we work for, he would not be able to get the vaccine by the time they're requiring the vaccine. But he probably does have a doctor's note or an antibodies that he could get or something like that. Doctor's note came up specifically. Is that something you see happening here in Alabama?
Jeff Poor, what you think?
I can see them trying it. Are these companies going to listen to the state of Alabama? And there's almost an arrogance to them, the mandate vaccines. And then here comes the state government from Little Alabama, telling us how to run our shop. I can see them trying it, but will it be effective? I don't know.
Well, I look at it as, is it going to happen? I mean, are they going to get some guidance from Harris, I doubt, for the state health officer. I don't know. He doesn't like to pin himself down to anything except for things that are difficult to work with. But I will say this: it's going to be a hard row to hoe because we got hospitals right now full of strongly knowledgeable healthcare workers who are going to fire their own staff on vaccine mandates and taking nothing into account about the possibility for antibodies. So Dale, I hope it goes, but I don't hold out a whole lot of hope right now that we're going to get some guidance from the governor's office or from the state health officer that helps people along the way. So, all right. What do you think, Dale? I mean, wrap that one up there.
The thing about the healthcare workers is, to me, the most frustrating. You're telling me that we're out of ICU beds anywhere between 10% left and 200 negative. And you're telling me you're going to fire healthcare workers because they've been working this entire time without the vaccine because they didn't get the vaccine. That just sounds insane.
And if all things go as planned, I've got one coming on my show next week who's determined she's going to let her job just play out and not get the vaccine and then quit, and she's an ER nurse, and that's going to be hurtful. But all right, Jeff Poor, you are up. Next question, brother.
Texas abortion ruling, SCOTUS, a lot of speculation that we're going to see copycats all throughout the fruited plain. Does Alabama try to mimic what Texas has done by allowing, everyday citizens to sue abortion providers or those assisting in abortions?
Yeah, I'll jump on that. Yes, I don't know if the now right now I'm a little disenamored of the conservative leadership or alleged conservative leadership we have in our state legislature. Will they get something truly conservative done? I don't know, but we have passed some pretty stringent abortion laws in recent years, and the fact that we have a SCOTUS ruling 5-4 allowing this to go forward does definitely indicate that copycats are definitely possible. I'm surprised the bill hasn't been pre-filed already, but I suspect somebody is scratching one out right now. Dale, what you got?
Well, you'll probably end up with one because you can pre-file a bill for almost anything, right? I think one of the things that you're going to end up with is a lot of folks saying, whoa, let's let it play out. We got some stuff in the pipe here. We got other states working on things. Let's let these things play out and see where they go and what happens at the Supreme Court. There's no reason for Alabama to jump in here. We'll just piggyback on everyone else when they're done. And I think that's probably the smartest play. Overall, it's not the smart political play. The smart political play is to do as you guys are suggesting, Phil. That's the smart political play. But I think that they might make the argument that, you know, the wheels are already in motion. Alabama can be a spectator and not have to be a party.
That's possible. It is an election year, though, and they need some red meat on the plate. But, Jeff, so what are your thoughts about your own question? What do you think?
Who would file that bill? That's probably what I was sitting there thinking, like, who would be the person to step out in front and do this? And the people I think that have already stepped out in front did it with the abortion ban in 2019, and they're not going to want to get in the way of that. So who is going to put up this legislation while the federal courts are considering the Alabama abortion ban that's underway now? Why would you interfere with that? You tell me, if you can figure out a name, then I think maybe we can work with that.
I've got several, but I won't drop the dime on them sitting right here. But I bet you right now, bro, I bet somebody's got, like I said, somebody's scratching out a draft of one right now. All right, let me jump to the next question before we run out of time on this segment. So I had Todd Stacey on the show yesterday, had some tech issues, which kind of, you know, waylaid my ability to have a full segment with him. But nonetheless, we talked through his polling that I think the two of you guys have already seen and probably had discussions with on your show. But one of the polls was related to the gas tax. Now, it was portrayed by Todd, and also in terms of some of the commentary he had in the write-up of this, that the gas tax is being seen as apparently approved by potential Republican voters. I look at it differently. I see 12% unsure, 39% didn't like it at all, and then 44% okay, which indicates to me that you've got a possible scenario here where someone truly wanted to run against an incumbent who had voted for it, that they could make a case that gas tax was a bad deal. What do you guys see? Is this going to be an election issue for some? What do y'all think?
It would have to be. It would really have to be their sole issue. And, you know, I just don't know if gas tax is, you know, a 10-cent gas tax over a couple of years is going to be anyone's sole issue. Are you going to throw out your guy because he voted for the gas tax? I mean, that's really the thing. We all say this thing all the time, right? Like, you hate politicians, but you love your politicians. You know, you'll look past the stuff they do, and then you'll pound people for the stuff the other guy does. So I don't think that solely is a thing. Trust me, if the gas tax was something that was a knockout blow that anyone thought was a knockout blow, KIV would have opposition.
Point. Okay. Jeff, what do you think?
I'm not convinced the gas tax is going to be an albatross around anyone. The legislature, our statewide office. I know Congressman Brooks talking about trying to put that on Katie Britt. I know that's the discussion about running against Kay Ivey. But think back to when that bill was passed, the Rebuild Alabama Act, and they had the public hearings, and everybody down there was protesting it. It was all talk radio, and it seemed to be internet chatter. One person showed up to talk against the gas tax when they passed it. It was a county commissioner. He's the only county commissioner now in Limestone County. Ben Harrison was the only person to show up. No Jim Ziegler, nobody. I think that we invent the opposition against the Rebuild Alabama Act kind of up in our head to think it's something. I don't think many people care as much as maybe we think they do.
And I agree with that right now. What I think, though, is that if someone wanted to develop the topic, if they had the campaign plan to make this one of their topics, they could develop the topic because the polling indicates that it could be a topic, but it would take work. All right, folks. We're going to go to this short break now. Copper, go ahead and cue it in. And we will come back right after this and finish up with the Grand Council for today. Jeff Poor from 106.5 down on the coast and Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN, our program director and morning show host. Grand Council on Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. By the way, if you find yourself driving outside the overly broad range of our AM/FM capability at WVNN, all you got to do is go to rightsideradio.org and click Listen Live. And wherever you is, there we is. We got folks in all kinds of states and around the state of Alabama listening that are not even in our AM/FM range, but that's the kind of audience we've got, and thank you for it. All right, we're going right back to the Grand Council. All right, we made the rounds for the first one. Dale, you are up with the next question, brother.
All right, you just heard Dan Schaefer talking about it there on the news, so I'll follow up. College football, they're using these things to sort of kick off and get more people vaccinated. They're spreading out till October, which makes absolutely no sense. You would think they would just send people out to all the games early on and try to do it as much as possible, offering them a $75 incentive to go to the campus bookstore. Does your average Alabama fan have any idea where the campus bookstore is?
Is that your actual question? Do they know where the bookstore is?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Well, Jeff, I'm going to let you offend the audience first. You go right ahead.
They don't even know where Tuscaloosa is, the average Alabama fan. Rank and file Alabama fan is a Sidewalk alumni. But anyway, I don't know if this is necessarily aimed at the average Alabama fan. This is aimed at a different demographic. So it probably works. If you're going to be at the game, maybe you could get a map or something, and they could lead you to the like a treasure map and lead you to the bookstore.
Just let me have my insult of the damn team. They're going to go undefeated. They're going to win the national championship. They're going to beat the Gators in the SEC championship. Let me have one insult for these guys.
One moment, please, to offend at least two-thirds of my audience. Thank you. Thank you, Dale Jackson. Yes. Thank you. Well, it is novel. I will say this. It is novel that they would find this means by which they can try to induce people into a vaccination. But I got news. If they're coming to a mass attendance event and they're already not vaccinated, then they're less likely to care.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the Charles Barkley thing. It's like, hey, come on out to Legion Field, all you unvaccinated people. Let's get together and meet Charles Barkley. It's like, what are we doing here? And then he only draws 100 people, which is really sad.
Wait, this feels like a trap. What's happening?
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, next question, man. What you got for the Grand Council?
Let's talk of prison reform or criminal justice reform or whatever you want to call it. We have a prison issue in Alabama, and apparently the legislature is this close to devising a solution. But I guess my question is, watching Chris England, watching the institutional left of Alabama, as sad as it is, pushing criminal justice reform, knowing that there's a Republican supermajority in the Alabama legislature that you're never going to get fully what you want. They want to disband the Board of Pardons and Paroles. Is there any reason to think the Democrats should have a seat, that they're going to make these unserious gestures about trying to rectify this problem? Are they apparently just using this as a way to gin up political support, I think, against Republicans from their own base?
I think that's exactly what it is. Me here, I'll just tell you, I just think that's exactly what it is. This is a fundraising opportunity for them. They get grants. They show their gravitas to, you know, the little red dots or the little blue dots in the overly red state. And I think that they get, you know, their national party sends them money for trying hard. And I think they also have to do this because they're in a litigation right now amongst themselves, and they have to show that they're doing something. And right now, since they have no candidates statewide, they got to show that they're at least railing against the man. That's my thought. What Dale, what you got?
I think you guys are exactly dead on. They got no ideas. Christopher England said he was going to be different than the lady who got stuck on the toilet all the time, and he's just stuck in a loop. Everything's racist. Everything's wrong. Can you believe these guys are doing this? So what's your plan? Nothing. Everyone's racist. Everything's wrong. What's your plan? Nothing. Everyone's racist. Everyone's wrong. And they're trying. You might as well let Kyle Whitmire run the Alabama Democratic Party, because you get the exact same stuff.
Well, he is their PR man, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is anyway, at least on a daily basis. It's death, doom, destruction, and everything's bad.
Than what we've seen over the last 10 years.
You think what, Jeff? You think what?
I think Kyle Whitmire ought to be running the Democratic Party. At least he's a true believer and not some political hack. He'd probably do a better job than Nancy Worley and Chris England. Chris England is not a serious person. I used to think he was, but he's clearly, based on his social media, not serious about his job as Democrat chairman or as the a legislator.
Agreed.
All right. Well, there we have it. All right, folks. Hey, listen, I got one quick question. You give me your quick answers on this. Right now, the two lead candidates for the next Speaker of the House are Nathaniel Ledbetter, the Majority Leader, and Steve Klaus, one of the budget chairmen. Ledbetter from the north part of the state, Klaus from the south part of the state. I'm hearing rumors that Speaker McCutcheon is toting Ledbetter around, introducing him to people and sort of making him look like the player. But what do y'all think? Between those two, who comes out as next Speaker?
I think it's going to be Ledbetter for the reasons you just said. I think he's going to be the obvious answer, but we'll see. I think there's a race there, but I think it'll be over relatively early if McCutcheon's throwing his weight behind him.
Jeff, what you think?
Ledbetter's going to be the next Speaker of the House. There's just not enough Republicans south of Montgomery that would vote for Klaus. But don't count out Klaus. He'll make it close. He made it close last time. I think he can make it close again this time.
All right, fellas, that's it for the Grand Council. We appreciate your time, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. All right, folks. Hey, listen, the Grand Council, one of my favorite times every week. Those two guys know their business, and they do it well. Dale Jackson, of course, hosting the Dale Jackson Show here on WVNN in the mornings, and also the program director for the station. And then Jeff Poor, formerly of WVNN, now down at 106.5 on the coast, and has a great show and works for Breitbart as well. All right, folks, we'll be back with more. I got some things you might want to know about, like what's happening with students holding walkouts at school about masks. Are they for them? Are they against them? Or is it both? We'll come back right after this, and I'll give you the details. Plus, we've also got I want to encourage you, all right? I want you to understand the pushback is happening, all right? If you are out there saying, "Where are the conservatives? What are we doing?" I got news. It's growing. Counterculture has begun. Cancel culture can take a hike. Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio, Salt Lake Conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.